Reading is Hebrews 11 through 14. We have many things to tell you about this, but it is hard to explain because you have stopped trying to understand. You have had enough time that by now you should be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the first lessons of God's teaching. You still need the teaching that is like milk. You are not ready for solid food. Anyone who lives on milk is still a baby and is not able to understand much about living right. But solid food is for people who have grown up. From their experience, they have learned to see the difference between good and evil.
Why would anyone want to talk about maturity? Well, I'm not sure why I picked this subject for today. Or maybe it chose me. But I've been asking myself that question over the last few days. How did I get to this scripture? Well, during New Beginnings, many of you have been participating in that, and we looked at a continuum of the missional church. You remember that chart that went across two pages? Well, and one of the phrases that caught my attention in the far right column, which is, you know, where the best area is, said, this is the sentence, people take responsibility for their own spiritual growth. I wonder, is that a characteristic of spiritual maturity? That reminded me of this scripture, this test or this lecture, as I often heard it from growing up in the Baptist church. What I remember, the image that comes to me, is my 6'3" father standing in the pulpit with his left index finger out. Now, he was a lefty, so of course it was his left finger. Now, he grew up in the wilderness of southeastern Oklahoma, a sharecropper and needing to hunt for his food, and out chopping something out of a tree once as a teenager, he chopped off the end of his finger. Picked it up, stuck it back on, wrapped it up, took the animal with him, went into town, and they put two stitches into the finger, and of course it grew back. They probably put carbolic acid on it or something, you know, terrible. So, but his end of his index finger went this way. It curved. I don't know, my fingers are not that big. But when he preached like this, which of course as a Southern Baptist minister he did, you couldn't tell for sure who he was pointing at. Which was the only really redeeming factor of that kind of preaching, and which is one of the reasons I didn't really want to preach. And that's, I can just see him saying, all right, you've learned enough. Get up and start teaching. Grow up. So I've tried to read this scripture in a way that's different. I can't get there. If any of you all can read this scripture and see something, read it some way in a more acceptable 21st century psych pop way, then tell me. But I don't see it. I see it as a lesson that's being taught, where we're being said, there are more things that you can learn, but you've got to grow up to do it. We can't expect these babies to be able to really understand what we're talking about during the sermon. That's why they go to godly play, where they can experience a story in different ways than we experience it and learn it in different ways. But we're grown-ups now. It's time for us to be able to learn that. It seems harsh and direct, confrontational even. It's not a pleasant conversational topic. I've recently heard somebody that's a phrase people often use at the dinner table. Can't we talk about something pleasant? But now, I think it's time for us to see a finger in the air and wonder if that's not what we should do. We should not listen to that. But let's look at this metaphor of eating that's used in this scripture. It talks about bread or talks about milk. And that's where children start. Children learn to suck. They learn to hold their bottle. They learn to eat with their fingers, then hopefully to a fork, and make a spoon first and then a fork. And then finally they get to where they're more like we are, where they eat at the table with others. They talk to people while they eat and not look at their electronics, hopefully. They learn to take their dishes into the kitchen. And then maybe we'll start helping them learn to cook their food. I was surprised this week when my daughter called her son in. She was making mac and cheese from a box. She had the macaroni done. It had been rinsed, and you know, it was still hot. The pan was hot, but he wanted to squeeze the orange stuff, you want to call it that, the cheese, into the pot. So he was helping to make the dinner. That's another step, helping to take care of yourself. He even told me later that grown-ups cook, and I was so glad to hear not that mommies cook, but that grown-ups cook. And then finally, we may have it all together, where we plant vegetables and raise chickens. At least we know somebody that does that in here. And then we collect those eggs and those veggies. We figure out how to create a shopping list, go to the store to buy everything that we don't have, fix the meal, set the table, stop and give thanks before we eat the food, enjoy the food with family and friends and the conversation at the table, then wash the dishes. Don't forget the counters. Well, that's a lot of stuff to learn. And I'd say that if you can do all this and get others to help you in the process, then you've reached eating maturity. So how does this apply to spiritual matters? When I first became aware of God, which of course was as a young child was very early, I already knew a lot about God because I was taught about God from my parents. I had a conversion experience, which is what we called it in the Baptist church, when I became aware that there was something greater than myself. But of course, you know what I learned about God was in the middle of the 20th century in southeastern Oklahoma in a Southern Baptist church. I grew up memorizing scripture in the King James Version. I attended church at least 3 times a week. I went to Sunday school and training union every week and to a mission organization on Wednesdays. I had some knowledge and some experience was still being caught. I wasn't mature. When I left home to go to college, I began a search to make that received religion my own. For me, that meant being out of church for several years. So when I returned in my 30s, for me, the way to begin again was to begin to volunteer. I worked with young girls in the church who were learning about the world beyond their local community. I sang in the choir. I continued to be taught in adult Bible studies and through sermons and other studies. I received training from my church. I was later at another church, elected as deacon, served on committees. I worked with children's choirs, continued to sing in the choir. But still, I was not satisfied. I was not even asking if I was mature, and I was already well over 50. Well, I discussed this dissatisfaction with my pastor at the time. He told me, "You want this church to be something it can't be. Maybe you should find the place you belong." I wanted that church to be more of an activist church. Now, that church has a large medical ministry, a dental ministry. They have food, they have clothes, they have a furniture bank. They do all those things that are giving to the poor. And yet I wanted more. What could I want? Well, I found it at Church of the Open Arms. That was a decision made out of maturity. And what I found was a church that not only sought to feed the poor, but sought to look at the systems that cause the discrepancy in the poverty levels. That's part of the study that Conda's going to lead. We'll help show more of that in detail. that we don't just say, okay, it's enough to give things, things that maybe we don't need, things in our plenty. Yes, we need to do that. But we need to look at the system to see why things are as they are. And as you know, things are worse than they were 20 years ago, and much worse than they were in the 50s when I was growing up. So that was a decision of maturity. Of course, it may have helped that my Southern Baptist minister father was already in heaven, because for me to leave the Southern Baptist Church would have hurt him too much, and I would not have done it. Maybe I'm old enough now to be considered mature in some ways, certainly in age, but now I'm wondering if I'm a mature Christian. How can I know? Is the best that I can do is to make some mature decisions along the way and hope for the best? I do believe that we will always need to continue to improve, no matter what our age is or how mature we think we are, and that we're not done as long as we're living and breathing. But mature? And now, after I've completed my 6 sessions of New Beginnings, and most of you have too, we began looking at our church and our neighborhood. I find myself reflecting about maturity and how it applies to this church, how it applies to us here today in this neighborhood. And here's the answer that keeps coming up for me. For me to be mature is to see the world as it clearly is and to do what is set before me each day. For me specifically, in the last 10 years or since I've joined this church, it's meant retiring from state government in my 50s, listening to the word of God through a dream and following that call to seminary, returning back from California to Oklahoma to be present for a grandson's life and rejoin this congregation. It meant saying yes to serving as your president and now as co-chair of the search committee for our new pastor. For me, it means action. But as you'll learn if you're involved in the study that Mark's going to lead, there's other ways. This is my major path. But there are other ways, and just because this is my path, it doesn't mean it's your path. Whatever your path is the right way for you. But I think we'll also learn in that study that each of those paths has a piece that can hold us up and help us to be mature. So since action is my path, I'm going to ask you about action today. Here's some things that you might be able to do to participate, to take some action, to help support your church home. Because you know, when you live in a house with a group of people, family, created family, even just roommates, there are chores and things that must be done to keep that household together. And that's not any different than this church. So, for instance, 2 weeks from today is, or 2 weeks from yesterday, is the January planning session for this church. All our leaders will be there, but it's open to anyone and everyone who wants to have any input into what's going to happen in this church in the next few months. That's a short-term planning. Then a month from today, at the end of the potluck, we will have reports from our New Beginning groups. So you can come and be a part of that process. If you haven't been in a group, then come and hear the reports. If you have been, come be part of making the presentation so that we as a group, as a church, as a home, a family, can make the decisions for the future of our church. Or you can find a place of other service in this church. If you've never been a part of a church before, still think of it as a family. Find somebody you can hang out with and offer to help them. If you're an older member of this church, and by that I mean more than a year belonging to this church, then find somebody who's new. We've had 22 new people, all of whom have been assigned sponsors, but one's not enough. Get to know those people. Ask them to help you with some small task. Just before Victor came, Danny Burke and I, and maybe some others, recovered these cushions that we kneel on. Those things are behind the scenes. That's just one example. Cleaning off this table. Do you see any decorations that are about ready to come down? if you're any good at organizing, I'm sure Ron and Mike would love to have somebody with organizational skills to help them put this away so that it's easier next year to get out. That's something you can do. It's not so much what you do, it's that you do something. Something that helps perpetuate and hold this church, this family, together. That's a sign of maturity. Are you mature? Am I mature? Do we really need to think about it? What I do know is that I must do the work that's set before me. Right now, this is what I'm going to do this year. I'm going to co-lead the search committee for pastor with Kent. I'm going to continue to serve on the staff leadership team and the executive team. I'm going to receive further training as a voice leader. I'll be going to a 5-day training in California in a couple of weeks. I'm pledged to pray for this church and for all its leaders. I will be listening for the still speaking voice of our God to be ready to answer the call to work with a yes, with God's help, I will. What is before you that needs to be done for this church this year? Think about it.